Happy anniversary. 127 years. Wow. For Montana, that's a lot of years. That's a lot of years. And this building, 90 years old, that too is an exciting thing to celebrate right now. That you are still worshiping in the space where 90 years ago, people were worshiping God and praising God and serving God out of this space. So congratulations. You have been equipping people for ministry in the Flathead area and in the world for a very long time. And you've been blessing, or God has been blessing through you, people in need, people who need to hear this amazing good word that we have to offer as followers of Christ. Today, I bring you greetings from all the congregations of the Montana Synod and all the ministries who are celebrating with you in spirit, in prayer, maybe on camera. Together, we are walking in this ministry on Christ's way, doing what Christ is calling us to do: love our neighbor, share with one another the blessings that God has given us. I also have to say thank you. Thank you for this invitation to be here with you. It's an honor, it's a delight to be with you, to celebrate this day. We'll see if you still think so after the sermon. But it really is. You know, I've been waiting for 2 years for this, so I'm really glad to be here. But I especially want to thank you for your generosity. Your generosity of resources and financial resources in particular, but also your many gifts that you share with the church and with the Synod. Thank you so much. What you have shared with us, we have been able to use to equip other congregations and the wider church in this work we are called to do, this mission of the gospel. And so thank you for all that you have given and shared with us. It is truly a blessing to the church. Speaking of blessings, grace to you and peace from the God of all blessing and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, do you define yourself as a blessed you? Or a woed you? In other words, when you hear the words from Jesus' gospel today, do you place yourself on the blessing side of the fence or the woe side of the fence? All too often when we read this text, we use it as an excuse to create divisions among us, to construct an us and a them. Separation, parsing people out into those we think deserve to be blessed and those whom we think should be woed. But that is not how these words from Jesus are to be read or heard. They're not to be used as a weapon or a bludgeon to beat others up or keep them down in their place. Well, I get to rise up above everyone in my blessedness from God. Nor do I get to spiritualize this text and tell people who are suffering in real poverty and hunger in this world, oh, don't worry, you'll get your blessing in heaven, so just suck it up, bear it while I enjoy my riches here on earth. We don't get to do that, and believe it or not, it was done for many years by Christians. Jesus doesn't let us get away with any of that. Instead, in these words, he offers a description, an image of what God's creation will truly look like when the fullness of Christ's life-giving power heals all things. And for those who recognize that their healing and abundant life comes only from God, kind of as Pastor Scott was talking about earlier, that our roots are deeply buried in God. Those who recognize that, this is a beautiful, amazing picture of blessing that Jesus shares with us. But for those who cling to the old ways of human existence, this is a hard image to behold. And it will cause much woe. But let's look at the text. Before Jesus says these words to the multitude of his followers, and there were many, Jesus goes up to a mountain to pray and to be alone with God. And while high on this mountain, he no doubt saw the big picture of human existence, recognizing the systemic problems from a distance, praying about them, sharing them with God. Oh, how easy it would have been for him to stay there on that mountain, above the pain and the hunger and the grief and the persecution that so many people were experiencing at the hands of a cruel world. How easy it would have been for him to say, oh, let my Father work it all out. It's his problem, not mine. But Jesus doesn't stay there above it all. And he doesn't stay alone with God. He calls 12 apostles to join him, those who would become his closest inner circle, and he takes them down the mountain into the messiness of everyday life to stand with him on a level plane, smack dab in the middle of the messiness of life with all sorts of people dealing with struggles and sufferings in their lives. These included people from the seat of religious power in Jerusalem, from the wealthy Roman port cities of Tyre and Sidon, people from the poorer inland areas of Judea and around Galilee who were suffering under the oppression of the Romans and the religious system. All were looking for healing and rescue from unclean spirits invading their lives. All were trying to reach out to Jesus and touch him and receive his power. And power came out from him and healed all of them. All. There's the gospel. There's the good news of this text today. Jesus' power of healing and rescue and blessing comes out and heals all of them. Everyone, you and me, us and them. And after this issuing of God's power, Jesus describes what this power of healing going out to all of them. It's going to look like. And what this power means for the world is blessing and woe. Jesus starts his description by blessing some people. And when we look at those who Jesus says are blessed, we should be shocked. Because it's the very people who we often think are unblessed, are cursed, or are lost in the woes of life, the poor, the hungry, the weeping, the excluded, and the persecuted. The people who don't have enough of the material resources to even find food for their table. I think of that commercial on TV of the mother, a teacher who spends her days caring for other people's children, who comes home and only has one can of soup to feed her children, and nothing left over for her. That's who Jesus is talking about when he says the poor, the hungry, the weeping. Real people with real suffering, who we in our blessed lives often forget about or ignore. Now it's these people who are receiving God's blessing. That's a complete reversal of who is often thought to be blessed by God, certainly at the time of Jesus, but I think throughout much of human existence. Suddenly the world is shaken and turned upside down as Jesus brings in the kingdom of God. But what does Jesus mean when he talks about blessing? We think we know. We think it has something to do with being happy, feeling fortunate and satisfied. We also think it has something to do with worldly prosperity. If you have wealth and riches, you're blessed. If you have a nice house, good job, good friends, you're blessed. If you're famous, have power, have lots of followers on Facebook who love you, you're blessed. And I suppose there's a little bit of truth to that, but just a tiny bit. It's true that being secure in this life is a blessing from God, a gift from God who provides all that we have and need from day to day. But the problem is that too quickly we turn this blessing into a weapon and a lie. The lie is the prosperity gospel. The belief that because I have these things, wealth, power, goods, I'm especially favored by God and I'm entitled to these things. The weapon is when we turn this belief against others, saying, I'm sorry you don't have these things, but God must not favor you in the way God favors me. You must have done something wrong. I'm entitled to have this. You aren't. You just need to try harder. By the way, because I'm favored by God and you aren't, I get to control your life and demand my way over you. Or it's just as bad when we turn this idea of divine favor against ourselves. I don't have these blessings, therefore God must not love me. I must have done something wrong to displease God, and now God is punishing me. Does that sound familiar? It should, because it's the way of the world. Turning away from God, playing judge and jury, blaming the victim for their own suffering, even if the victim is sometimes ourselves. I lost my job. God must be mad at me. That person got sick. He must have disappointed God. She's poor. God must not love her as much as me. Our congregation is dying. Why doesn't God care about us anymore? The prosperity gospel is how the haves justify their having so much and how they defend their attempts to get more by climbing over the have-nots. This is a complete misunderstanding of what it means to be blessed by God. You see, blessing is not just a feeling of satisfaction or having worldly happiness or comforts. Blessing is a gift. It's a pure gift of grace. No earning or entitlement involved. Being blessed is to receive the very life of God into the depths of your soul and your body and to live it in its fullness. To be blessed is to be brought into abundant relationship with God and with all of creation. Where all parts of creation, all people live in harmony toward the well-being and joy of every other person and part of creation. You see, what God wants most for all of us is that all creation, including you, including me, and everyone and everything, all of creation gets to live the life that God has given us at its most vital, most healthy, most abundant. And in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God empowers all of us to be full of God's life. A life of harmony and joy and well-being and security. In God's kingdom, no person is more or less favored. No person is more or less entitled to God's blessings. All people are loved and everybody has enough. But if God wants this life for us and blesses us with it, why does it seem that so many are excluded from it? Why do so many not have enough? Why does 90% of the wealth, resources, power rest in the hands of only 10% of the people? It's certainly not true that those 10% work harder, are better or more blessed. Now, the problem is we humans don't play so well with others. We like to keep score, play to win, beat others out, thinking we are better or more entitled to God's blessing. We live in this mentality of scarcity, of believing we'll never have enough. And we always need more and more, which leads us on a pathway of taking from others to give it to ourselves. There was a woman who had some time to kill at an airport. And she bought herself a cup of coffee and a small package of cookies and moved to an empty table. And she was reading her phone, as everybody does now. We're all looking at our phones, right? And she became aware of some rustling at her table. Well, she kind of glanced up while still looking down. And she watched in surprise as a man helped himself to one of her cookies. She didn't want to make a scene, so she just leaned over and she took a cookie for herself. A minute or two passed, there was more rustling, and the man was helping himself to another one of her cookies. So she took another one too, and this continued until they were down to their last cookie. Well, the woman got quite angry that this man had eaten half of her cookies, but couldn't bring herself to say anything. Then the man took the last cookie, he broke it in half, pushed one half across to her, ate the other half, and got up and left. Well, sometime later, when the woman heard the announcement for her flight, she was reaching into her purse for her ticket, and she was still angry about those cookies. How dare he, a complete stranger, take half of her cookies? They were hers, and he did it without even asking. And then she felt a familiar crackle of plastic as she was groping in her purse. And pulling out her hand, she flushed red with embarrassment as she saw the bag of cookies she had purchased earlier. Turns out she had been taking the man's cookies all along while judging him to be the thief. In life, judging oneself to be more entitled to God's blessing is called sin. Putting ourselves first, putting ourselves in God's place, judging others, taking away the blessings that belong to others, that's stealing, even when we're not even aware we're doing it. The good news is that God blesses everyone, all of them. The power went out into all of them with this vital healing power of God that comes to us in Christ. And God especially blesses the poor, the hungry, the persecuted, the suffering, because they are the ones in the world who need it the most. But what about those woes? Well, the problem is that for those of us who have more than enough in this life, we're going to have to lose some things to live in God's kingdom. And that's going to hurt. Hence our woes. You see, when Jesus speaks these woes to the rich, the well-fed, the happy, and the exalted, Jesus is indeed speaking out of anger. He is offering a rebuke to those who have so much, yet seems so unwilling to share it with those who don't have enough. But this angry rebuke that comes out of his love, even for those who he is woeing, He loves the people he is wooing. It's like a parent who watches their child do something stupid or dangerous that will get them and other people hurt, and then reacts with anger. "What were you thinking?" my mom said angrily when I was playing catch in the street as a child. Or my own anger when I watch my stupid cat try to navigate a very thin railing on which one side is a huge drop. He's already fallen once on top of the TV, using up one of his 9 lives. When I see him, I just want to yell at him in anger, "Woe to you and to me if you fall, because we'll both suffer. You because you'll be dead, and me because I will lose you." Jesus' anger comes from a place of love, and here he's expressing sorrow and lament at the thought of losing these people who are clinging to things that aren't going to save them. It's as if he's saying, "Don't you see that your way of living is going to hurt you in the end and is actually hurting others? Don't you know that you're going to suffer so much when you lose what you cling to as your salvation? And you're going to lose these things because they don't save. Don't you know that your woe becomes my suffering? My lament that you're bringing such pain on yourselves and others?" Jesus is not abandoning those that he is wooing. He's already healed all of them with his power. He's upset that they are abandoning him. And Jesus wants all to live abundantly in God's kingdom of enough, with no gaps between anybody, where no one is hungry, poor, weeping, or persecuted, while at the same time others are rich, full, laughing, and celebrating. As we hear this very difficult text today, we need to remember that we are both the blessed and the woed. It's not an us versus them thing. It's a we thing. And inasmuch as we are the rich, the fed, the happy, the powerful, we are called as those already blessed by God to come down to the level place and join those who are suffering, so that we can share Christ's blessing by caring for those in need in the way you are already doing as you give to these many ministries to support them in their housing and the food bank and their hunger. Jesus says you are blessed. Through me, you are given God's life. My power comes to you and heals you every day. In this healing, you are called to follow me straight into God's kingdom. And you've been given the fullness of God's blessed life. But these blessings, they come as a gift, as grace, that will transform you and cost you everything that the world thinks you should have. But just remember that in losing these worldly things, though full of woe, you will gain everything. Your whole life, blessed in the fullness and the abundance of God. Amen.